Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at Mars's trine to Jupiter, which is coming up. And in the midst of that trine, we're also going to see the Sun making sextiles to both Jupiter and Mars. So I apologize in advance if the audio is not as great. I'm in our new house right now. We're in the process of starting to get things moved in. I'm really excited because I have a new office space. For those of you who know, you know, have seen my channel from last summer onward, really, you know that I had a really awesome office space that I filmed my videos in. I've been, you know, in someone else's house renting temporarily as we've been looking for a house. So I'll be rebuilding my office space, and YouTube videos will probably look a little bit, I hope they'll look a little bit more beautiful again, though I've enjoyed my Narnia closet and the space that I'm in now, which is actually like a guest bedroom. Anyway, before I dive into today's talk, I also want to remind you that my new course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins on June 13th. You can learn about it on my website, nightlightastrology.com, and click on the courses page, go to the first year course. Of course, also my second year course and my horary program, they also begin in June. So there's a bunch of new programs starting in just a few months. The early bird payment is open now if you want to save about $500 off the tuition. There's also a payment plan, and there's need-based tuition for people who have a tight budget or are in need of some help. I try to make sure that nobody's ever priced out of my programs. So anyway, if you have any questions about it, you can also email me info@nightlightastrology.com, and I hope to see some of you in class soon. Yeah, I think that's all that I wanted to say about that. Oh, also, I knew I was forgetting something. We just finished our spring speaker series. It was a great series. We'll be posting summer speaker series in the next month or so. People have been asking about that. So just stay tuned to my website's speaker series page. You can find all the latest speakers that are coming to speak for free. We are always welcome to join in on those programs for free if you register. Okay, anyway, here's the real-time clock. And here's what's going on. We've got Mars in Gemini making a trine to Jupiter in Aquarius. We also have the Sun making a sextile to Jupiter and to Mars. So I mentioned this transit last week, and I also mentioned a few times now that I circled this as one of the more dynamic and probably positive or constructive transits of 2021. Certainly at the top of my list, in terms of one of the more dynamic periods of the year. The reason for this is that we have very powerful, slow-moving trine from Mars to Jupiter. So it really packs a punch when it lasts that long. And it's a trine. Trines are of the nature of Jupiter. Jupiter's in the superior position over Mars. So there is a lot of support right now between Jupiter and Mars. And then you add in an exalted Sun sextiling both sides. And that's when it gets, you know, it gets even more powerful. So at any rate, this transit will perfect over the next few days. Let's take a look at that. So we have, you're going to see the Sun getting through the sextile to Mars on April 14th. That's Wednesday. Then you'll see the Mars and the Sun sextiling again as they both start to hit Jupiter by Thursday, April 15th. This lasts essentially into the 16th. You'll see the perfection of Mars-Jupiter through the 16th, 17th. And you could even say this is going to be around till early next week as Mars will be separating from Jupiter for a few days afterwards. So we have about a week now of these three planets coming together in a really strong way. Now, we have to remember that underlying this transit, of course, is the major opening of this new moon in Aries, Mars ruled sign, with Venus squaring Pluto, and then Venus subsequently going into conjunction with Uranus and square to Saturn. So it's a big lunar cycle for Venusian things. Remember, we talked about that social civil fabric? Well, yesterday I was in the car driving, and one of my friends in Minneapolis was like, "Did you hear about the curfew tonight?" And I was like, "No." Apparently there was a curfew in place in the city, and you know, protests and demonstrations after another African-American man was shot and killed by the police in some kind of traffic stop. I don't know any of the story or anything like that. And it's not going to be the focus of my talk today, but obviously I had no idea about that when I did yesterday's talk, and it had happened the day before on Sunday. And it just showed to me right away, yep, there it is. There's the potential for civil and social unrest or upheaval and ideological conflicts, all of which we all know right now when this kind of thing happens. I mean, that really stirs the pot, and it can get things going in perhaps some good ways. And obviously it can cause a lot more, turbulence and tension between people as well. So that's just one little example here in my neck of the woods in Minneapolis. But at any rate, we have to remember that what I'm about to say about the positivity of Jupiter and Mars is qualified by the fact that this moon cycle, Venus is going through a lot. Venus represents harmony, peace, grace, togetherness, agreement. And when you see Venus hitting, Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, there are going to be changes and challenges to what we define as peace, or where our agreements or disagreements lie. Where do our conflicts of value or belief or ideology lie? You're going to see a lot of potential discord and then reinvention and change and to a certain extent, revolution. You'll see those qualities. And I don't like to think about it so much in the macro. I really like people to try to tune into their sphere of activity and influence, and really try to see the planet in the midst of your own life rather than, I mean, obviously it's healthy and interesting as well to look at the big picture, but most of the work that we have to do is probably located in, your marriage or your home or your friendships or your workplace or something like that, where you're actually going to see these energies appear. Okay, so all that being said, Mars, Jupiter, I want to talk about the positives and negatives. I think it's mostly positive, but there are some bewares here as well. So I'm going to turn off my screen now. Okay, so one of the things that's so positive about Jupiter and Mars is that you have the god of action and the god of success coming together with the god of success in this superior trine to the god of action. So actions that meet with success. Actions that, seem to have the cosmic green light before them. It's like, I'm moving forward in a direction. Everything's coming together. All the lights are green. I feel like I'm being confirmed or affirmed by the universe. So that feeling is very strong with Mars and Jupiter in the trine, but it's action oriented. It's getting things done, where it's supporting a series of actions or initiatives. Mars in Gemini may also represent having a few different irons in the fire at once. We have Mars in the double-bodied air sign of Mercury, a very changeable, adaptable sign that often speaks to multiplicities. So if you see a multiplicity of actions or intentions or ideas all coming together, sort of congealing and finding support, that's the trine from Jupiter that's allowing for that multiplicity to find some kind of larger cohesiveness. Then you've got the sun in Aries, exalted sun in Aries, sextiling both, which gives more of that sense of courage, boldness, action, assertiveness, strength. So there's just a very confident, strong energy in the air right now. Now, of course, the downsides are going to be the bravado or the arrogance or, getting too big for your britches. That's always maybe also just that kind of, with the potential for Venusian strife, trouble keeping the peace underneath the surface of this moon cycle, or some changes to relationships, it's possible that some of these energies that I'm discussing could also represent the kind of ideological or let's call it intellectual zeal and communicative certainty and strength and machismo that could come out right now. So you could really take some of those energies and get high on your point of view and really assert it in someone else's space in a way that is too strong or causes friction or it could be the actual cause of some kind of social or relational unrest. There's the Venus coming into conjunction with Uranus squaring Saturn later in the cycle. So at any rate, so be careful of kind of the intellectual machismo, philosophical zeal. I don't think it's bad to have enthusiasm or charisma. I'm not a hater on enthusiasm and charisma. I think because I have those things. I've been so moved by charismatic teachers and personalities in my life. A lot of my friends are really charismatic people. So, but always with anything, you have to be aware of, you know, where's the tipping point? Where can the scales suddenly flip, you know, dramatically? And with Mars, Jupiter, and, you know, an exalted sun in the mix, it's probably going to be the strength of your ideas, words, thoughts, or actions are just too much. If you want to zoom out a little spiritually and meditate on this transit, something that you guys know, this is something that it's a part of my daily relationship with astrology to do so. You guys know that I've been watching this documentary series on Mount Everest climbers. The documentary, by the way, is called, Beyond Everest or something like that. Everest Beyond the Limit, something like that. It's a Netflix series, I'm pretty sure. So in the series, you know, there's this portion where they're interviewing people who have climbed to the summit or are going to, and they're each on camera, like talking about their motivation, like, why do you want to climb to the top of the highest mountain in the world? And there's a lot of really thoughtful answers. There was a double amputee who went up, you know, and he's talking about, you know, trying to prove that a disability can't hold you back. And a guy who struggled with childhood abuse, and he's trying to overcome it and show people that your past doesn't necessarily limit what you can make of yourself, for children who've been abused. So there was all these really great stories. Sorry, I'm laughing because the next one's so funny. Then there's this other category of stories that I would put in, like, as I was watching, of course, I see the world through yoga. So I was watching a few of their answers and I was like, yep. And that's why yoga. Like, that's why we do yoga, because there's a little craziness that exists in all of us. Anyway, so this one guy goes, they were like, so, you know, why do you want to climb to the top of the mountain? And he was like, he like looks into the camera and he just got this look in his eye. And he was like, because when I get to the top of that mountain for just one moment in time, I'll be standing higher than everyone else in the whole world. And I just want to feel that. I was like, this is why the Buddha, like, just like, that's so absurd for your family, your kids, your daughter, whatever. They're sitting at home praying beneath a statue of Mary. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you're gonna die. Like, you have to hike up this mountain with an absurd amount of weight on your pack. It's like very likely that you could die. You're hiring these people, the Sherpas, to like totally risk their life and limb, in some ways probably exploiting them. You know, you've got tanks of oxygen. So you can go up to the top of this mountain for 30 minutes. They don't even get to stay that long. It's like 30 minutes that they get to stay at the top of the mountain. And for that one guy, it's just so he can feel that much taller than everyone else. And anyway, I was thinking about that. And I was like, just thinking about how Mars, Jupiter that is. In ancient philosophy, in both the East and the West, one of the bottom lines of our mystical spiritual practice is that we still have today as astrologers, that they had back then, was, look, your underlying motivation, if you are caught up in the wheel of fortune and samsara, if you're tangling in the quicksand of Maya, and that's what you're up to, one of the underlying motivations that people have in this world is to dominate, to just be on top, to lord it over others. And I think that's what Jupiter Mars is about at its worst, especially with an exalted sun right in between. It's like, if things are really going our way in this world, a lot of that times that means that someone else will have been exploited. That means that someone else will have been stepped on. You can't even walk without killing life in this world. Like we're everything in this world's, you know, the it's like the Lion King, you know, the circle of life. Everything eats everything else in a great circle here. And, you know, it's nice. It's nice to sort of romanticize that. Like if there's a beauty to it, there's a beauty to nature's perfect unity. You know, I love nature. So it's not, but also people have a lot of delusions. People have a lot of delusions about nature. Like if you want to know, you know, what nature is really up to, I heard a Taoist monk one time say, go sit out in the woods for a week in one place without moving, and you'll very quickly, he was living in the mountains, right? But he was like, very quickly, you'll understand what nature is, what nature does. It's pretty brutal. It's very tooth and nail. So anyway, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but the reason that I say that is because one of the practices of yoga and one of the practices of most spiritual traditions is to meditate upon the nature of competition, dominance, and it's so difficult to actually truly and authentically eliminate from within our daily actions the underlying motivation of superiority and dominance. People often say hierarchies are the problem with the world. And I would agree, but I would also say that hierarchies are endogenous to this world. We are not endogenous to this world, as it turns out. We're visiting this world, and it's one of innumerable dimensions. But our inherent nature, according to the ancient sages who practiced astrology, was divine, meaning we're eternal cosmic being. We're tangling with a particular kind of energy here. It's one of innumerable divine realms. We're apparently, reality facilitates our ability to hang out in whatever, you know, many different realms with different MOs. The MO of this world is dominance and competition and to a certain extent brutality. That's a big part of it anyway. I'm not trying to denigrate nature in this world, because I also love it. And it also is divine. There's lots to learn from it, and there's lots to take care of here and so forth. But you have to be so careful with Jupiter-Mars transits that we're paying attention to the underlying motivation to be on top. And it's not so easy. Mars, I can tell you this right now, Mars-Jupiter is like a knight that has a good cause to fight for. And I'm reminded of this war documentary that I watched a long time ago called The Band of Brothers. And it was about World War II. And I was interested in World War II for a while. Like I read a lot of books about it when I was in high school and stuff like that. And then I don't remember when Band of Brothers came out. But one of the things that I remember from it was, and this is true like of a lot of armed conflicts. So it's kind of archetypal. In fact, there's a great book written about this called A Terrible Love of War by James Hillman. But the gist of it was that these young men who had particular ideological convictions about goodness and about truth and justice would go into these wars, and you would ask them during the midst of the war or even after the war, did you feel like that's what you were fighting for? And they would say, no. Many of them might say yes. You know, I know my grandpa, for example. So people do believe that there is sometimes like a just war or whatever. But in the heat of it, you'll hear a lot of people also say, at the end of the day, I had to be in touch with the fact that there was a brutality and just a human darkness behind war that no amount of good intentions could gloss over, or that aberration, that stain, that darkness, you can't do away with that just because you think that there's a good cause. Like it's still ghastly. And I always stuck with me. And I was thinking about, what kinds of challenges we might have with Mars and Jupiter. And one of them is you feel knightly, you feel courageous, you feel emboldened to do something, and you believe it's right in some area of your life, But doing the right thing when it requires action and when conflict is involved, sometimes we'll try to dissociate and forget the underlying darkness and struggle and competition and brutality that's involved in these things. And trying to get what we want or do good things, I think we need to allow for there to be multiple and complex motivations for what we do and why we do things. And Mars, Jupiter very easily can just present that muscular sense of strength and confidence and potency. I'm doing something good, Jupiter. I need to take action, Mars. This is the right thing. And on one level, it may be. But on another level, we can build an ego upon strength and virtue. Our ego can derive satisfaction from being on the right side of something. And what that does is it subtly keeps us locked into some of the cycles and hierarchies and dominance in engagements in nature. And it's sort of inevitable. Like, I don't think we can really ever be free of that. So I'm not trying to preach some kind of impossible purity here. But it's so important to be aware of, just to be aware of the fact that if you're in an argument with someone and you feel like you're on the right side of the argument, doesn't it feel good to beat them? You know what I mean? And that's how I know that I have to be really careful of that, that sense of being the winner and being on top. I want to be, you know, and because it's absurd. Think about the mountain climber analogously. We will sacrifice and compromise and put so much on the line to be right about something that we believe is good or true or just, or that we believe is the best thing to do in any given situation in our lives. And we will risk other people. We will risk our relationships, you know, all sorts of things that we'll put on the line. And if we're honest with ourselves, some of our motivation is no different than that guy who wants to get up to Everest purely and sort of wide-eyed manically to be higher than everyone else for just a second. And one of the reasons that I'm getting off Facebook, for example, and social media is because what I see as a daily, I work in social media essentially every day for like 10 years of my life. And what I've noticed over time is how much of our interactions on social media perpetuate this need intellectually or in communication and thought to be superior to someone else. And, you know, that to me, like, I just started realizing, oh, this is painful. This is really painful because this, everyone's, including myself, a lot of people are masking their animosity, their anger, their need to dominate or win behind all of these things that they believe are right or true or good in any given debate or conversation that's happening. You can't even say something. I could be like, I went to the store today, you know, and someone would be like, oh, so you thought that you could go out into society. You just thought you could leave your house or something, you know, or I had to go to Target to get some toilet paper or something. They'll be like, oh, you support Target. I see what kind of person you are. You know what I'm like? Oh, like this stuff, this is my experience of social media might be more sensitized than other people because I literally kind of live on it, right? But I just realized that it's almost like it's a minefield right now where something about social media can, at its worst, at its best, it can connect us, right? But at its worst, it can enable us to participate in this constant need to be victorious over one another. So anyway, I'm rambling now. I've gotten captured by the Mars. I'm just, Mars, Jupiter just came down and went. So I will shut up, but get good stuff done. It's a great energy to get things done with. Just be careful of that underlying. You can just remember, you can look in the mirror and imagine that the Everest documentary crew is saying, so why do you want to be on top today? Or what are you trying to be on top of the world about today? And I think if we can answer that with a little bit of like self-effacing humor, if it's a little dark, you know, just some good humor and honesty about what our actual motivations are and so forth. It just softens the blows of the trans. It's harder to get grabbed by them. It's harder to get seized and swept up in it. And that's what ancient astrologers said that this is here for. We're here to study astrology, not so much because we want to fixate on ourselves or on what's going to happen to us, but so that we can recognize the wheel of samsara for what it is. We can go, hey, this is what's happening. And this, you know, I have to find a way of flowing along this river, understanding what's happening and not getting lost in it, because we're already partway asleep in this particular dimension of consciousness. And, you know, we can change the signal that we're tuning into, and astrology is helping us do that. If it's, especially if you pair it with a daily spiritual practice, it will help you to go through life and to appreciate the beauty of the changes around you while also not getting lost in them. So anyway, I hope you guys have a beautiful day today. We'll probably come back and say a little bit more about Mars and Jupiter. I just wanted to say a few things. And again, I apologize if the audio isn't the best, or, you know, the video is obviously not great either. So, okay, you guys, we'll talk again soon. And tell me about Mars-Jupiter. If you were born with it, please feel free to tell me something about your experience of Mars-Jupiter in the chat box. I love to hear from you guys and hear your stories. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.